Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 420. Smoke them if you've got them. Anyway, tonight we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 251, Detours. And we're also going to do a quick look at a movie that we have promised to watch for a while, and we finally got around to it, and that movie is Logan.
Yes, and it has been less than 10 years since it was out, so I think that's progress.
Me too. Okay, so let's jump into Night Vale first. We start with an announcement from Jeffrey Craner. They're actually doing a Welcome to Night Vale role-playing game, which I think is amazing.
I think that's great. I haven't done role-playing in so long. I wonder how easy it would be to get back into it, especially since it's not going to be like D&D. You don't have to like orient yourself on whichever version or that they're up to at this point and all the new roles and everything. It'll all be starting over fresh.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give that one a look. Okay, so basically this episode, Cecil has gotten a hold of a headset that he can do his radio show while he's walking around town. And there's a new rideshare program in town, and it features driverless cars. And they're driverless because they're driven by ghosts.
Yeah, the whole thing about being able to hire a car to come and get you, it used to be that taxi cab was some kind of abbreviation for taxonomy something, I think. A taxonomy cabinet, I think. But now someone named Ryan DeFleur has come up with this whole idea of being able to call a car to come pick you up and drive you somewhere. He's invented the whole concept.
Mm-hmm. Yes, quite the entrepreneur there. Now, before I forget, there was a brief mention before all this got started. We had some international news, and the international news was there is a dark planet of awesome size lit by no sun. And I was like, oh my gosh, the return of the dark planet.
Yay! Which goes absolutely nowhere in this episode, I don't think.
I don't think so. As far as I can tell, the dark planet, in the episodes where it's come up before, it really does mean that somebody's about to die, right?
Usually, somebody usually has every time it appears. I don't know. Every time I hear about that, I have to think about the movie Melancholia and the fact that the whole bit with the approaching planet that's going to wipe out all life on Earth is actually less uncomfortable to watch than the opening bit with all the family dynamics at the wedding. But yeah, the whole idea about a planet just hanging there that you can see from Earth is just, I don't know why, I love that whole image.
Oh yeah, same. It's just, it's really neat. I don't know if they're ever going to, I think this would be one of those things of Night Vale that I don't want them to explain. You know, just every once in a while we have the dark planet. However, because there is a lot to do with ghosts in this episode, I feel like that's where the connection is as well, but we're still guessing. So Cecil's signed up for the beta testing version of the new rideshare, and while he gets the information loaded in, he sends us back over to the studio where Deb, the sentient patch of haze, has a word from our sponsor.
And our sponsor this week is vending machines. So convenient to put things into and then get other things out of, and they're everywhere, including blocking people's driveways and floating in midair and falling and crushing things. And just when she starts going into the lists of things that you can put in and get out, like a piece of corn and you can get a crow's feather or vice versa, I think. But I don't know, they come up with such wonderful random shit when they do something like that. Like one of the things you can get is a loose handful of RC Cola.
It's just weird randomness. It's funny how she said at one point, because, you know, it works by putting coins in, or you can do the barter, and that's what she gets in the whole list. But she specifically says you can put in an item and receive an item of slightly less value. And when you think about it, you're like, yeah, that is how vending machines work. There's nothing in a vending machine that's worth the amount of money that you're putting into it.
Oh, no. Famously, it's how they make their money, is they're just going to absolutely stick it to whoever is there, because if you're using a vending machine, you don't have an option for something better at the time.
Yeah, true. Okay, so Cecil's car is here. He's very excited. They're on the way. They're going out of the way. He has no idea where they're going. They're clearly not going towards his destination, which was the Pancake House.
Yeah, and he had gotten a picture on the app of the driver, and it was some old house with an open window and a flowered curtain and a desert space outside, whatever, which he thinks is really handy because it's a ghost, so they obviously wouldn't have a picture, but somehow you got an identity picture anyway. But yeah, as they're driving around, they pull up to the house from the identity picture, which is weird. And he kind of, Cecil kind of wants to get out and go into the house. He has this like urge to go inside and pet a cat that's the color of a burnt marshmallow and then start playing the piano, even though he doesn't know how to play a piano. But he can't get out because the doors are locked, which he appreciates is a good safety feature because he really can't get out and he's really trying.
So after a few minutes, the car does leave. It takes off. It's going very, very fast, and it is still not going anywhere towards where they need to go. And as Cecil's talking, suddenly the broadcast starts to get staticky. It's been raining, and he thinks maybe the signal is being affected by the storm, so he's going to send us off to check with the weather.
And did you think that the opening bit of the weather sounded a little bit like the Mountain Goats? Because I sure did.
Yeah, just a little bit. But it didn't last very long because it goes straight into what I wrote down as pop punk rock. Yes. And it was fun.
It was fun. It got very shouty.
Yes.
Extremely shouty.
Yes, it was Homebound and Gagged by Snowed In. And I enjoyed it.
So we get back to the taxi cab and Cecil has no idea where he is. And they've been to a lot of places. Like they actually saw the man who is not tall and the man who is not short at one point, who usually appear around when the Dark Planet of Awesome Size shows up. But yeah, they're both like gesturing at him to turn around. And the car does turn around and it goes somewhere else.
Yeah. Heads over to Rattlesnake Rest. That's the cemetery where I believe we did have an episode with Rattlesnake Rest at one point about different bodies showing up and then coming back and whatever. It drives straight into an open crypt and the door shuts and they're sitting there in the dark. The car turns off, but Cecil still can't get out of the car. He feels kind of frozen in place and he starts to remember all of these things that have never happened.
Yeah. And it's like all of the memories that he's getting sort of coalesce into these glowing points of light that sort of merge and then go up into the stratosphere. And he feels like he's being carried away with them. And then suddenly everything's completely dark. And then suddenly Cecil realizes he can move, so he gets out and he starts walking.
Yep. And he can't get the crypt to open, but he did find an underground tunnel, and so he's walking along. He's getting progressively more irritated because he has no idea where he is, and there's strange symbols on the walls, and there's armadillos down there, but I don't know, in Night Vale, armadillos look a lot like, I don't know, like upside-down praying mantises, I think, so they're kind of scary.
Yeah, he is not a happy customer at this point. He doesn't want to blame the ghostly driver, and he doesn't even want to blame Ryan DeFleur for making this whole thing, but there are some bugs in the system that have not been worked out.
Nope. But he walks along and suddenly he sees a light and he walks outside and he's absolutely where he needed to be. He is right in front of the Pancake House.
Which he is. Now he decides that this whole thing was a green initiative on part of the company because he's now gotten his exercise and he's ended up exactly where he was supposed to be, even though he had to do a lot of walking. But, you know, that saves on gas. So, yeah, yeah. Now he's giving it 4 stars.
Yeah, that's great. Can you... Oh. It's one of the things about taking Uber and Lyft and everything. You hear these horror stories about people getting into cars and going where they're not supposed to go. And you're thinking to yourself, who could I call instantly to try and save me and whatever? And it just makes you not want to go anywhere. But the idea of it driven by a ghost is even more terrifying.
Well, yeah, the ghost that takes you to a crypt. that's at the sort of point when you start wondering if you can break the windows out of the car and leave.
Gracious. But that's it. That's all for Night Vale this week. I would say it's a good standalone episode, except I was really thrilled to see the return of the Dark Planet. And if you haven't been listening to Night Vale for a long time, I know it was just a really familiar touch of an element that I always thought was just wonderfully creepy.
Mm-hmm. And unexplained. And hopefully it stays that way.
Yes. Okay, so last week I had friends who wanted me to go see Deadpool and Wolverine with them, and I had heard that if you're going to enjoy that movie, you really need to probably see Logan because it's following directly that, you know, it's got some ties in. So I actually did. We both rented Logan to watch it. And we said we were going to do it and we did it. And I think we deserve some freaking congratulations.
We deserve a pat on the back for that because we accomplished something with absorbing some new media. But let me tell you, I knew that Logan was supposed to be darker and more violent and everything. That undersells it. I mean, it is so much more violent. There's all the swearing going on. Logan and everybody involved is so miserable because we're in like the near future and they're like the only mutants who have survived. And they're basically hiding out, waiting for Charles Xavier to just die of old age. And I'm just watching this going, this is so dark.
It's unbelievably dark. So spoiler warnings, but you know, Charles Xavier, it's like, it's painful to watch because he has some degree of senility of some sort, you know, and he's obviously unhappy and old and uncomfortable and whatever, but he also keeps getting these kind of seizures, and it basically paralyzes everybody in the surrounding area, and I'm pretty sure it stops everybody from breathing as well. It's just really, I mean, it's very, very intense and super, super dangerous.
And it's something that has happened before, and what I really respect this movie for is the fact that there are things that are never fully explained, but you do know, you can get the idea of what happened, and apparently something that happened in the past is one of these seizures killed all the X-Men and like a bunch of other mutants. And my God, Patrick Stewart just broke my freaking heart in this movie because he just portrayed that whole frailness, but also the overwhelming stubbornness about something that is probably not a good idea that feels ridiculously familiar to me right about now. So it's just
imagine.
Patrick Stewart and Hugh Jackman did a great job because he is playing a Wolverine that is just done. He is absolutely done, not interested in any more adventures or helping people or whatever. And he's really just like buying time until Charles Xavier and probably himself dies. Because another thing they don't explain is that Wolverine is very, very sick, and it's probably the adamantium that is poisoning him. Whereas, you know, his health factor could just deal with that for the rest of his life. But now his health, you know, healing abilities are not working anymore. So now it's killing him.
And he just portrays this bone deep exhaustion, you know, and this was, it was, I'll tell you right now, it was weird to see Wolverine in Deadpool and Wolverine because this was 2017, I think, that came out. So it was actually Hugh Jackman was 7 years younger than he is right now, but he just was so completely tired and always in pain, and he's totally self-medicating with alcohol because his healing factor is not working. So he keeps on getting into these fights and having people like kick the shit out of him, and he doesn't die, but he certainly doesn't heal fully. And you believe every bit of it watching it.
And then this mysterious woman shows up who has a little girl that she needs to get across the Canadian border. And that's where we get introduced to Laura, who is, spoilers, she's a mutant, and she can fight like Wolverine used to be able to, and her fight scenes are amazing.
Oh, it's so fun to watch, and you have no idea. I mean, I want to say she's like 11 or 12 at the time that they filmed this, and she carries herself so well, and she just goes off on Wolverine in Spanish at one point. It's wonderful to listen to. I mean, the lines, I could only understand about one word of five of what she was saying, but they were wonderfully delivered.
And her fighting scenes, she is just absolutely feral, like popping out claws like Logan can and just tearing people up. And they don't skimp on the gore in this. I mean, people's arms and legs are getting chopped off and getting stabbed through the head. Somebody gets decapitated later on in the movie. And oh my God, when Logan gets into that fight with the evil version of himself and gets impaled, and you're just feeling every bit of this. It's also cool. I mean, like, Logan, at one point, he just decides they've got to get out of there. So he packs everybody in a car, and he's trying to get away from these armed mercenaries that are after them. And he's just tearing it up with a beat-up old limousine and about 20 feet of fencing that he's dragging along beside him.
Yes.
And then does that maneuver where he, like, plows a car into the train and uses the momentum of that to spin the car around so that they avoid getting trampled by the train. I'm like, oh, I've got to rewind this and watch that again.
My goodness. Oh, okay. So two things. One, I read in the trivia that the director actually, I don't remember if it was the director or the choreographer or whatever, who was talking about that scene when they're heading for the fence. And someone said, oh yeah, and they crashed the fence. They said, no, they can't crash the fence because that's a typical like action movie thing where they just plow through the fence and go, we have to have them plow through the fence and have it not work, which is just really great. But the other thing was they've got this bad guy going after them. You know who the actor is who played the bad guy, right?
I had to look it up. It is Boyd Holbrook, and he played the Corinthian in the Sandman series. As it gets further along, he gets more a little stereotypically bad guy. He still always does a great job, but I thought he was so appealing in the first half of this movie, especially where he's commanding the mercenaries and doing that thing where they're getting ready to attack and he stops them just by raising up his fist. I don't know why I think that's so cool, but it's just love the way he delivered all his lines in that. And just, you know, he's the bad guy from the very start, but he's also really charming.
Yes, extremely charming. Ugh. But the body count is awfully high, and there's people who die that you kind of hoped wouldn't die, including an entire family full of really nice people.
As soon as I saw them, I was just like, oh God, they're not going to survive this. But just, it's so much more brutal when they get taken out. And then the father has seen this evil version of Logan killing his family, and then he comes out and Logan is there having, they've just like incapacitated the bad guy version of Logan, and the father has got the gun pointed at the real Logan, and they're both staring at each other. And I was waiting for it to do the thing where he realizes that Logan is just as much of a victim and he's going to just let him go. And no, he pulls the trigger and it's like it was empty. There wasn't anything in there. And then he dies. I'm like, could you have kicked everybody in the heart any more than what you did with that? He wanted to kill Logan.
Yes, and Logan knew it. And Logan knew that he died thinking that he was the one who killed his family. And
you're like, oh, this is the kind of brutality. You feel bad for everybody in this movie, which is really amazing that I kind of want to watch the movie again, even though it made me feel so awful.
Oh, God, yes. Oh, the kid, you never really watched, what is it, Legacy?
No.
Which was the spinoff of the spinoff of The Vampire Diaries. Uh-huh. And it did finally come to an end and it was fine. There were some fun episodes here and there, but as a whole, it was just like, I think you're fine. But the kid actually played one of the vampires in the show, one of the like main characters. He was there all the way to the end. Kid's got some acting chops for sure.
Good, good. Well, yeah, the movie is so worth watching, but you just have to be prepared. This is nothing like any of the other X-Men movies at all before or since.
Nope. It's just, I'm so, so glad I watched it. And anything else that I could say would just kind of be spinning my wheels, you know, the amazing action scenes and the acts of selflessness and connections and people and death scenes. Charles's death scene. Oh, God.
Charles's death scene, the very ending. There are two things that had me literally in tears at the ending, and I can't even say what they are because I don't want to spoil it for people, but I think it handled by any other movie, it would come across as the most manipulative crap possible, but they sold it in this.
It was great. It was really cool. I liked you get to meet a whole bunch of kids at one point who also have mutant abilities. I really like all their mutant abilities were very cool.
Yeah, especially that kid who like, you know, he's been captured, but in the middle of a battle, he like manages to crawl over to a Jeep and shock it so that he electrocutes everybody that's still in the Jeep. And I thought, wow, they might actually have a chance here.
Yeah. I really like, you know, Logan is kind of, he'd been knocked unconscious and he's surrounded by the kids when he wakes up. And this one girl, she has like a sponge or a washcloth, and you see her just gently blow on it because she has ice powers, and she just blew on it just to make it cold to put in his head. I went, oh, that's so sweet. Yeah, but the rest of the movie, sweet would not be the term for this movie. Gritty. It's like you just wish everybody could go and take a nice shower.
Yeah, you know? I know. And things like that they mislead you on. Like the first time Logan goes to where they're hiding out Charles Xavier, and he's talking with Caliban.
Yes.
Who also the actor did a very good job with Caliban. Just believably done with everything. Mm. But, you know, he goes to give Charles Xavier his medicine, and he opens the door and there's this blinding white light. And I'm thinking, what it's Cerebro, the great big, that was what I was thinking it was, but you go inside and it's just a hollowed out old piece of equipment and in the sunlight. And I just thought, I know what you guys were going for there, and it's cool.
Yes, it is extremely cool. Oh, I just, there's so many, I mean, the cinematography is great. The sets were great. Apparently the actress was way too young to be going into casinos. Like, it's actually literally a law that she couldn't go in. So a lot of the times that you see her in casinos, it was green screened.
Was it really? I did a good job with that, because usually that will shout out at you that you're on a green screen.
Nope. I think they had like her stunt double if it was scenes from behind, and if you see her face, it was green screen. Or either that, or they had some really good sets built. But nicely done. Yeah.
Well, but I mean, I'm trying to think of other things. It was nice to see Richard Grant in something. Ever since seeing him play classic Loki in the Loki TV series, now every time I see him, I'm like, oh hey, it's Richard Grant.
Yeah, I like that he's really embraced the fact that he does superhero movies now. I think that's fun. So yeah, that's it for Logan. I just wanted to say really briefly that I did get a chance to go see Deadpool and Wolverine. And one, I think you should see it in the theater if you possibly can, because it's very splashy. But I think you'll enjoy it. And I will tell you, there were at least a couple scenes, and one scene in particular, that was just kind of delightful. You know, it's just, it is all of the in-jokes, and it is constantly making fun of everything Marvel and X-Men related. It just never stops. I can't believe some of the stuff that they got away with, just absolutely lambasting the studios and everything. It's relentless, and it's hilarious. And I think it's really fun. I mean, I know that Pop Culture Happy Hour reviewed it, and I think they were expecting something different. I'm like, oh my God, it's a Deadpool movie, you guys. And I hope you weren't going into it expecting Shakespeare or something. But I thought it was very fun and very well worth a watch.
Now, do you think it will be enjoyable for someone like me who has not seen the first or second Deadpool movies?
Yeah, because I haven't seen the second Deadpool movie, and I was fine. I think all you got to do is know that he's surrounded, that what's her face, who played Inara in Serenity, that's his girlfriend. They've been in a relationship for a long while. And I think everybody else that surrounds him, I think they were friends that mostly came up in the second movie. But if you just know, oh, those are his friends and he cares about them, then I think that's really all you need to know.
Okay.
So not to end things on a downer, but we felt like it needed to be mentioned. It broke our hearts when Joss Whedon turned out to be a complete asshole. Yeah. And I did not think that there was somebody else that would hurt worse than that. But as it turns out, there is. Apparently, allegedly, Neil Gaiman is also an asshole.
Yeah, he's got a lot of accusations against him of, creepy old man energy, outright assaults on fans, manipulating a woman who was living on one of his properties with her child and like getting sexual favors so she would be allowed to stay there, and just, you don't want to believe everything right off the bat, but at the same time, it's a lot of different people coming forward with stories that could be backed up as having had an actual relationship with Neil Gaiman who are saying these things. And I just feel like I don't even know anymore. I'm kind of exhausted. And you said when you followed the Twitter thread about that somebody...
Blue Sky, but
somebody mentioned Richard Pinney of ElfQuest phase, and that is another person who is known for not being able to keep his damn hands to himself.
Yeah, and the thing is that certainly with the Richard Pinney one, they were saying that this is, and I have looked online, and this is the only place, the Blue Sky conversation I saw is the only place I've seen it, because I think the Pinneys are really good about, like, I think maybe they can be litigious, I don't know, but I'm not seeing evidence of this anywhere. And yet there's people on Blue Sky who are like, yeah, he's definitely creepy old man energy, takes advantage of young female fans because he knows he's got the power and the influence and everything. And that apparently among a subset of the fandom, it's been a known quality for a long time, but nobody could do anything about it. And I'm like, oh God.
And I feel like the only reason why you and I have been relatively unscathed by any of this fandom stuff is that, and it's an option that most people aren't going to want to take, that we are pretty, like, we keep to ourselves and we don't actually, like, run to go meet our heroes very often because we're damn shy. And, like, other people who want to meet their heroes are getting treated like crap. And I don't know how to make all this stop, because it just seems like no matter how good the guy is, somebody's willing to come forward and make an accusation that's plausible. And I'm like, and what do you do?
Yeah, no. And that's the thing. We should definitely say that right now, I mean, there is nothing on the internet that says Richard Pinney has been doing this stuff. I just have the words of several people in a Blue Sky thread. But at the same time, I mean, I don't want to disbelieve what women are saying. So I don't, that one is a bit more hearsay, though. I don't know. Blue Sky was talking a lot about it. The Neil Gaiman stuff, I mean, they've got reporters who have looked into this, and there was apparently an NDA that was signed and hush money that was paid and everything. So there seemed to be some receipts on the Neil Gaiman stuff, which is a shame. Also, the fact that as soon as the allegations came forward, he freaking disappeared on social media. Mm-hmm. He hadn't posted anything to Blue Sky in about a month at this point. So it's he's gone to ground for sure. He's denied everything. Says that, yes, there have been some sexual relationships, but it was all consensual. So, I mean, I don't know. It's awful, though. Awful. Yeah.
And I know there are very good people out there, good guys who would never actually think of doing something horrible to women. I'm just not exactly sure why so many people are getting called out for this shit. And I mean, well, no, I know exactly why people are, because now people have a voice. People can actually say something and have an audience, whether that's good or bad, whether it's like false accusations or really happening. Who the hell knows at this point? But everybody stay safe. And please, if you've gone through some horrible shit, please try to get somebody to talk to.
Yes, God knows. Ugh, ah, so gross. Is there any way we can possibly end this podcast on a lighter note? What else has been going on?
I've watched several episodes of Poker Face now, and I gotta say, I think it was Exit Stage Death was the episode.
Yes.
So good.
So good.
Hannah agreed that episode is just a hoot.
It is. It's got a great ending, too. Love how they pulled the ending out. I mean, it's just, it always tends to do things that are, like, a little bit surprising. I don't know. And, you know, all of the episodes have been good, but that one, the way they chose to end it, I just, like, literally... Literally, bravo.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. On the perfect note. Nothing else needed to be added at that point. No notes.
No notes. Okay, good. So we pulled out from a depressing ending to a much better ending, so we'll just stop right there.
Yes.
So that'll wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. So we have, not only do we have San Diego Comic-Con photo galleries, we also have a GalaxyCon photo gallery from Nathan of some amazing cosplay. So, and it's quite a lot of it. So if you were at GalaxyCon, there is a very good chance that he got your photo.
Yeah, Nathan's got a good eye for the really excellent costumes. So he got some of the best ones, I thought.
Yeah, I love the fact that he caught two people in MST3K outfits just like within 2 minutes of each other.
Not even that, like 20 seconds of each other. They were like in the same part of the hall. It was really strange.
That's amazing. And they didn't know each other?
I don't think so.
Wow, that's amazing. Yes. All that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So we were all caught up with Nightvale, so we won't do that next week. There's a very good chance at this point we might finish up Poker Face between now and next week.
It might, and if not, I'm really working towards the end of the second season of Mayor of Kingstown, so that's that could also be a possibility.
Yeah, I'm about ready to watch the final episode of the third season of Mayor of Kingstown.
Oh boy!
I know, exciting. So all of that and more Pixel. Nope, I already did that bit. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.
And they're driverless because they're driven by ghosts. Hang on, sorry.
Might want to try that last
siren
bit again.
Siren white while I was saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new rideshare program. Wow. My goodness.
Damn it. This is going in the outtakes.
Yeah, it is. Wow, I can still hear him. I don't know where it's coming or going from, but I can still hear it.
Probably going to be getting stuff from Nathan's TV.
Okay, that's right.